Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ringside Chaos, the most passionate and knowledgeable pro wrestling podcast in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Bear of Texas, and it's once again time to welcome back Brooklyn's finest minch, ladies and gentlemen, Mark freaking Braverman. Mark, what's up, brother?
Not much, Alex. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. Today was a very productive day, as was yesterday. I know that you're not very happy about your Islanders being eliminated, so I hope that today's recording eases the pain a little bit.
Your team is too slow. I'm gonna get that out of the way first. Team is too old. Too slow. They got congratulations to Carolina Hurricanes on absolutely thoroughly kicking our butts. They wanted it more. They have a much younger team, much faster team, much hungrier team, and I said it all season long. The Islanders is too damn slow and they're too damn old, and they're gonna have to fix it very, very quick.
Well, I'll be honest with you, my Dallas Stars are freaking me out as well. Although they've tied the series, winning in both in Vegas, so we'll see how the rest goes. But Mark, as always, every episode of this show is dedicated to the memory of your younger brother Jeffrey, who I know is listening to us right now. Yep. Mark, I got to tell you, the fact that you had to remind me that this week is Backlash, sometimes I'm like, what in the blue hell is wrong with me?
We all have lives outside of we all have lives outside of our podcasting, Alex. So it's
yeah, we do.
It happens. So
for 2 months, I've been seeking employment, and I think I might have just gotten there. See how it goes, but
I start coaching soccer in a couple of days, so.
You mean football?
No.
You mean football?
Well, our football or soccer in the United States, but we all have lives outside of this, but who we are.
But you know what? A big part of our life is professional wrestling, and this weekend is WWE Backlash in a country that is very important to me, a country that I love so much, just like the United States of America. Vive la France, vive la République. I think this is the first time they're actually having a pay-per-view show in France.
Oui, monsieur.
And the best part for me is that it's very close to where I was born. I mean, it's in the metropolitan of the city where I'm from, but it's in a suburb in which the clinic where I was born in used to be. That clinic is no longer there, but it's taking place in the Dessine-Charpieu commune of Lyon, which is where I was born. I actually lived in Villeurbanne, which is close, but still, it's in my hometown of Lyon. I don't even know who to thank. I mean, obviously, I thank my Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord, but I'm not sure who else to thank. But I'm just grateful for this. Really, I am.
Well, how about we thank the country of France for hosting this pay per view, and we're very happy that it is an international country that's friendly to the United States, and that That's always a plus. And
America's first allies, America's oldest allies.
That's very correct. That absolutely is true. And I'm very happy that it is in France. And I've always thought the French people are very proud of and very proud of their heritage, as they should be.
Yes, we are.
And I'm
There's
sure
nothing
like,
wrong
I'm,
with eating snails, people. There's nothing wrong with eating escargot. Look, I get it. Eating snails may be a little bit weird, but guess what? Other countries, they eat fried tarantula. So come on. Escargot is... Come on. But
in my career, you know, I'm a chef. I've actually made escargot, and I've seen people eat it a lot. It's not my cup of tea, but then again, I am Jewish. We're not supposed to eat that anyway, so nothing with the shell on it. So, but that's a whole different monster. So I'm just very happy that it's a wonderful country like France. I've never been there myself, but I've seen pictures of the countryside. It's an absolutely fantastic, beautiful country, and hopefully one day we'll find myself in Europe. But so thank you, France, for hosting. Thank you to France. Thank you to people of France, and thank you to the president of France for allowing WWE to have a pay per view there. Now let's get to the card, my friend.
Let's get to the car, indeed. Well, I have to be honest with you, first things first, there's really only one match that I'm extremely excited about, and I think we know which one. But, Mark, as we do on this program, we save the best for last now, don't we?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I'm looking at it right here, but I'm not sure if – obviously, this is not the right order of the card. We didn't actually do an episode about the draft, so since the card is relatively short, before we get to the card, any quick thoughts on the draft?
I thought it was a little. I like the fact that the champions didn't switch sides. I don't like when they put a belt on somebody and they automatically flip them off to another show. I'm kind of happy about that. I think that making Damage Control go to Raw is a mistake because they're not going to have anybody to feud with, number one, because Bayley's still on SmackDown, which is good because Bayley's their champion. I don't understand why they didn't break up the Bloodline, because the Bloodline is about as useless as a $3 bill, to be honest with you. The fact that they had to smoke the start of Roman Reigns, pulled himself out of the draft is ridiculous. But most storylines right now are. But I was okay with it. I didn't think that it was just something that people should say, oh, well, we had a good time with it. It was – they did it pretty much the same way that the NFL did their draft. They had the two rooms. They had the two meeting rooms. And that was just – my opinion was, okay, we did one. Whoopee.
I mean, there was a Raw where Becky Lynch became the new champion in that Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I admire Becky Lynch. She's a great wrestler. She's legitimately tough, super talented. But I think the belt should have gone to Liv Morgan. That's just my opinion. And no disrespect to Liv Morgan, but and no disrespect to Becky Lynch. Liv Morgan should be champion, but we'll see how things go. Maybe they just feel that Liv Morgan is probably just not ready yet. They want to build her up more as a major heel. I mean, I don't know, but it's not going to change my opinion on Liv. It's not going to change my opinion on Becky Lynch. I still admire them both. I just think that creative just didn't get right, but let's be honest, they can't get everything right. We're just basically educated wrestling fans, and we've got our egos. I'll admit it. Got mine, you know. So, and that's just how educated wrestling fans are. So, got through that as well. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm not even really caught up. It feels like it's been a while since I've done this show. I forgot which last episode I did, but
I think the last episode we did was WrestleMania, as a matter of fact.
Okay, it might have been, or it was probably something. Or I think it was the last show that AEW did.
Mm.
Yeah, that had to be it. And of course, I'll never forget during the NFL draft for the Jaguars, they showed Tony Khan. Okay, I mean, look, I know you don't like him, Mark, but we got to give him credit. Tony Khan got that good. So I'm glad I got that out of the way because of that whole thing with Jack Perry. But
mm-hmm.
And for those of you that listen to Cowboys Talk, there will be a there will be a post-draft recap of the Cowboys, so don't worry about that. I'll be taking care of that, you know, once I'm done with this one with my other guest. So I think now we got everything out of the way. I think we're ready to preview, officially preview Backlash.
I'm going to give you this one, though. I agree with you on the Liv Morgan thing. I think it is Liv Morgan's time. I, as much as I do respect Becky Lynch, and she is one of the four horsewomen, but what was the point of her losing the belt at WrestleMania if you're just going to put the belt right back on her? I mean, I know Rhea's hurt, and I feel bad for her because she had an amazing run, but Becky lost at WrestleMania. Liv wasn't even on the card at WrestleMania. So it's Liv Morgan's time. I'll agree with you on that one. If you wanted to put a belt on Becky, she should have won at WrestleMania. It was a pointless win on Raw. It was just saying, well, we love you, but we know you're working very hard right now, but here's a slap to the face. We'll put the belt right back on the first. We just took it off. Becky's not going to do anything for that title.
We'll see. So, I mean,
I guess because
we didn't really get a lot of fans didn't get their wish that Becky did win the title. So I guess maybe they decided, all right, you know what? Let's make the fans happy that we're mad. Let's just make Becky champion. But, you know, I feel like it should have gone to Liv. But you know what? We'll see how things go in the future. I don't expect Becky Lynch to be champion for an extremely long time. I'm thinking maybe, I would say around 90 days, honestly. That's how long I think her reign should be.
Honestly, I take it off her right now. Right. Becky Lynch's fan base is not as strong as it used to be. Liv Morgan's fan base is much stronger. That's number one. Right now, she's pushing her way to the top of the card. She needs the belt. Becky Lynch does not need a title anymore. She's had it once.
Seth Rollins is nowhere to be found right now. I think he's on hiatus.
Seth Rollins is not here. Seth Rollins had surgery. He had knee surgery. So Seth Rollins is actually injured. He's going to be out for a very long time. Becky Lynch has no business walking around that title right now. I'm sorry. I'm a Becky Lynch fan as well, because she's a four horseman. But at the same time, you've had your time. It's time to move on. They're making the same mistake they made with Roman. They're putting the belt right back on somebody they don't need. It took them 3.5 years to take the belt off Roman Reigns. Let's not make the same mistake with Becky Lynch. Put the belt on somebody who absolutely needs it and absolutely has to have it. And that person right now is Liv Morgan.
And as far as Seth Rollins goes, I mean, I didn't see any news about him having surgery, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to have surgery, if they're just going to keep it quiet. If they keep it quiet, you know what? I'm glad, because, look, to be honest, I think it's good, because we need to respect Seth Rollins' we need to respect the medical privacy. I'm sure that your case, because, you know, you've had similar injuries, you know, with knees, I think keeping, you know, respecting the privacy is something that's very, very well appreciated, right?
And the problem is that there's two ways you can go with it.
Absolutely. Before we go on, I want to send a shout out to Timothy the Tin Man, who's actually a follower of mine. Great, great dude. Timothy, I hope you're listening, buddy. I hope you're enjoying the show. Any requests that you got for me for the show, send them out to me, brother, and I will take care of you. Mark and I will take care of you, brother. And my prayers are with you, buddy. Timothy, a long story, but, you know, Timothy, a fighter, a survivor, passionate pro wrestling fan. You know, anything he would want me to talk about, you know what, Timothy, whatever you'd like us to cover, let me know. We'll do it, buddy. It's going to be for you, buddy. So anyway, so now finally getting to the whole Backlash of France thing. I don't even know which match to start with, honestly.
Well, let's start with the tag team titles. Let's go with the Kabuki Warriors against Bianca Blair and Jade. How about that one?
Okay. I have a feel. Okay. We've been saying for a long time all these rumors about Bianca turning heel. And, like, you know what? I thought it would happen by now. So I really have a feeling that Jade Cargill is the one who's going to turn heel. Although, honestly, I mean, I know that you're not a fan of Bianca Belair. And I know that our other friend, Darnell, a.k.a. the Playmaker, is not very, very pleased with your constant criticism of Bianca Belair, but
I'm not pleased with criticism about Belle either, but that's a whole different story.
Well, as far as the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, you know, everybody knows I'm a huge fan of them, especially Asuka. So everybody kind of knows who, of course, I'm pulling for. But as far as Bianca and Jade Cargill, the chemistry, the potential of them as a team, it stands out. I do feel that eventually one of the two is going to turn on one another, but part of me says that now is not the time for that to happen, but also part of me says it's going to happen this week.
I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think that they purposely put them together so they can take the tag titles off the Kabuki Warriors. And I think that they moved Damage Control to Raw because they're going to break them up eventually.
Obviously.
Because their momentum has been long gone. It was dead at Survivor Series when they lost at War Games, and it was even more punishing when they kicked out Bayley.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say this: as much as I'm not a Bianca Blair fan, I do like Jay. Though I think she's a phenomenal talent, and this is why I think Jay came here, so she could start winning titles and start doing what she does better in the ring than she ever did in the Land of the Dinosaurs. I'm gonna say that Blair and Jay take it, and okay. I think that it would be a good call for them. The Kabuki Warriors are making WWE no money right now. They really aren't. They haven't been in the ring in weeks, and they're a great tag team. Don't get me wrong, but
I think it's time that
I think it's time for new champions. I really do. And honestly, who's turning on who? I got some news for you. If Damage Control loses, the one they're going to kick out is Dakota Kai.
Probably.
Because Dakota Kai can't shut up right now.
I mean, she can't be trusted. She's got a history of stabbing people in the back. I don't recall Dakota Kai being faced before. Has that ever happened?
To my knowledge, no. But the problem is that when you have a faction like this, the person who talks the most is the one who usually gets kicked out. Who's the one who usually gets kicked out the most? The NWO, the Four Horsemen, DX, all taught us this. It's the person who grabs the microphone the most that can't shut up is the one who gets thrown out of here. So if they lose it down, now is really the time to start breaking up Damage Control. So I think that it's going to be Dakota Kai who's going to kick down next, and the three of them are just going to form a brand new organization.
Right.
And I think that's what will be best for the WWE right now.
No, as far as, like I said, I mean, if Dakota Kai did have a face turn in WWE, I would imagine it was probably in NXT, but I don't recall it. But she's been faced in her career before, but I just don't remember when she ever had a face run with WWE.
No, you know, to my knowledge, never.
I'm still mad, you know, with that street fight against Tegan Knox. Everybody knows I love Tegan Knox Raquel Rodriguez came to the table. Yeah, that made me mad, Raquel Rodriguez, I love you, and I forgive you for that. But Tegan Knox, I love Tegan Knox as well. But still, I'm still mad at the fact that Tegan had the win, and then Raquel put her through a freaking table.
And then Raquel put her through a freaking table. It's not cool at all.
I'm sure Tegan would be the first one to say, it's in the past, Alex. Let's move on.
Anyway, so
obviously you've got you have Bianca Belair and Jade winning, and I've got the Kabuki Warriors winning. Obviously, we're probably going to see somebody. Obviously, the miss, and I'm sure Asuka's probably going to miss somebody, or at least try to.
And honestly, if she goes for, I think one is going to duck, and she's going to hit Kyrie in the eyes. It's a possibility.
Who knows?
We've seen it before.
Or maybe Dakota Kai tries to get involved, and then Dakota Kai is the one who gets missed. I don't know.
It's unknown. But
we'll see. So yeah,
I think it's time for a title change. I really do.
Okay, so you've got new champions coming, and I've got the Kabuki Warriors. Have the Kabuki Warriors retaining.
Correct.
Should we go ahead and go to? Should we talk about Damian Priest versus Jey Uso?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to be a match.
Jey Uso has just been on fire. Now, we're not going to talk about Jimmy yet because, look, as everybody knows, Mark, our friend Ricky, and I, we have a plan on an episode of the Civil War of the Bloodline. Mm-hmm. We've been saying it when the time is right. Now's, look, the time's a little bit better, but it's still not the right time. Believe me, everybody, you'll know when the time is right. We will all know. So please don't stress about it. We will take care of it. We will do an episode. Mark is actually the one that said, if we don't do an episode, we're making a big mistake. This is Ringside Chaos. We strive to give the best pro wrestling podcast content in the world. So don't you worry, y'all. I got a feeling, I got the Yeet vibes going on right now, so I'm on fire.
You seem like you're on fire, so yeah.
I love this show. I love pro wrestling. I love doing the work with you, brother. So, hey, I'm grateful, same. Brother.
I agree with you. I do think that the Uso does take this one. But this could actually steal the whole show. You're talking about very, very two amazing, talented wrestlers going after a big title. I don't think they're going to have a title change, though, because Damian Priest right now is on fire with the fans, and they're going to start turning him face any day now. I think that Jey is absolutely on fire. This is going to be a fantastic contest, and I hate to say it, but a very, very weak card. And it is a weak card, let's be honest here. But it's going to be it is very unfortunate. But you have a lot of injured people right now, and with the draft screwing everything up, which I don't think they should have done. I don't think it was time for that anyway, but that's me. I think that this is going to be an interesting, I think it's going to be a great match, but I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be one of these ridiculous Vince McMahon double DQ or someone's getting counted out DQ specials. I don't think the belt's going to change hands, but they're going to have to find a way for Jay to win and not take the belt. But this is going to be a lot of fun. If there's any match on the card I've been looking forward to, it's this one. This is going to be a great match.
Speaking of Vince McMahon, I swear there have been some reports saying that he sold all of his stock, sold all of his shares. Like he's gone. Like he's completely gone. Like that's
good.
It.
Good.
I mean, but how many times have we been hearing it for weeks? Vince is gone. I mean, when is this whole thing gonna end? I mean, I'm trying to look it up right now. If any of these stories are still popping up, but.
There are stories popping up that he's going to start his own another wrestling company. There are stories that he's going to go that he's going to sign a contract with the Land of the Dinosaurs, aka AEW. There's another one going around that he's going to go to the old man home. There's so many ridiculous rumors going on about Vince McMahon. Let's just put this to bed right now. He's out of the company.
Right.
He's 80 years old. He needs to go home and retire.
Right.
And I think that's what he's going to do. I just think he's going to sit home, retire, count the money, bounce the grandkids on the knee, and enjoy the rest of his life. And I think that's the best thing for him.
Right.
Because when he was at the heart of the company, he was on like 3-4 hours sleep a day. You could tell he was running on empty. Running a wrestling company is not easy. It's got to be impossible.
Honestly, he's too old to start a new one.
Yeah, he really is. Let's kill that to bed right now. He's not starting a new one. He's not walking over to AEW. That's just out of question. But I think that he just needs to stay home, relax, play with the grandkids, and enjoy his life. And that's what I think he's going to do.
Two of his grandsons are playing college football, so you know what? Hey, go support your grandsons. Shane's two sons, I believe, play college football. Now, we'll
yes,
say this
do.
To wrap it up. Gunther recently said that he was not particularly thrilled about being on the main roster because he didn't like the way Vince ran things, and that doesn't surprise me because let's not forget, Vince wanted to bury Gunther and send him back to NXT. And I'm sure I've said this a million times. I'm sure Triple H told Gunther, look, you're not going to be buried. It's not, whatever Vince told you or whatever you heard about Vince, look, it's not going to happen. And I'm sure Triple H said, but look, we're going to need you to get in shape. And Gunther has done a fantastic job with the matches. So I'm glad that it's worked very well for Gunter, and I can't wait to see what the future has in store for him. But as far as Vince goes, I mean, yeah, go home, retire, invest in some stocks, you know, enjoy the good life, you know, and, you know, go have fun. I mean, enjoy what time you have left. I don't mean to sound like an asshole. Let's be honest. Vince doesn't have much time.
No, we don't know that because he's in incredible shape.
I do not mean to. I don't mean to sound bad, but like you know, at this, you know how time flies. I mean, I swear to God, it's already May. It feels like February 1st was only yesterday. Time is it's only gonna get quicker, man. So Vince needs to relax and just have some fun and enjoy the free time because he's never had this in his life.
He's
having a hard time getting used to it. But look, my advice is look. Enjoy the life, brother.
I agree with you.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure the legal process is still going on. And like I said, look, if Vince is gonna, you know, he's got to be punished for it. I mean, that's all I can say. But right now, Vince is gone. We need to move on from it.
Yes, we do. And as for Gunther, Gunther, one of the greatest runs that went through the kind of thought I remember in a very long time. I'm glad he had that run, and I think it's going to push him someday to the title. He may actually win next year's Royal Rumble. Who the hell knows? But we'll worry about that later. In the meantime, this, like I said, Jay versus Damian Priest is going to be a great match. Jay's going to win somehow by disqualification, or somehow by countout or some other nonsense like that.
But Jay's going to take the fault, obviously.
Absolutely. And I think Jay's going to take the win. I really do.
Yeah, by disqualification, which is sad. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I have Jay winning, but by disqualification. Which is obviously, you know, we're not a big fan of it. But let's be honest, that's realistic.
You know,
what do we got next, Mr. Braverman, sir?
Hold on one second. I'm going to finish over this thing by this. I don't like the fact that the champion can't lose the belt on a disqualification or on a countout. I say this. We throw that out. No championship advantage. The champion wants to keep the belt. He's got to beat his opponent. I hate championship advantages. That's just me. I think they're silly. I really do. I think it's nonsense. I always have.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them either.
Anyway, okay, let's move on.
All right,
next,
should we go with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus Solo and Tama Tonga?
Where did they get this one from?
This dude paid his dues, worked hard for so long, you know, worked in Japan. You know who his dad is, right?
Aku,
arguably the most. The toughest guy on God's green earth, legitimately tough.
Oh yeah, you can ask anybody. I mean,
we've heard the stories, haven't we? We've heard the stories about Haku.
Look, Hercules, may he rest in peace, said it. All of his opponents said Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan have all said the same thing. I don't want to ever see this guy in the ring again. And his son looks just looks as badass as he does.
I mean, you know who this guy was trained by the Dudley Boys, by Carl mm-hmm. Anderson, even by Haku.
He was trained by some of the greatest ever coming to the ring. So he
worked for New Japan for 14 years. 14 years. Part of the Bullet Club. My God, this dude did it all in Japan. 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champion.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. Why the hell did they bury him in the bloodline where he doesn't belong?
I mean, well, the bloodline. I mean, Tama Tonga. Except Haku is Tongan, not Samoan.
That's still problem number one. Problem number two is the bloodline is going to be ridiculously boring. We've already covered this.
I mean, there's no reason. Is rumored to be the next guy to join. Jacob Fatu is Rikishi's nephew. He's actually the son of the Tonga kid. So right, it's been reported that he did sign. He just hasn't debuted yet. So I would imagine he's the next. I mean, do I see him debuting at Backlash? I mean, could happen. But I would say Jacob Fatu another excellent wrestler. But I mean, the Major League Wrestling show I went to, he was not in the main event, but he was in a great match. I've watched Jacob Fatu's work. Jacob Fatu is an incredible athlete.
I've seen him in the ring, too, and I got to tell you something. And this is my opinion. Don't bury these kids in the bloodline. Let them go out on their own. They don't need to be in a dead organization. They don't need to be in an organization that is so dead and boring, nobody cares about it anymore. You need to have these 20-year-olds and these 24-year-olds, whatever how old they are, you need to have these younger people away from the bloodline. Let them wrestle on their own. Let them make a name for themselves. Because the more you tag them on the bloodline, their stock is going to die. You have to get them away from bloodline now. And it's time. And this nonsense of we want Roman, stop it. Because these are the same people for 3 years were screaming to get him out of the ring. Now it's we want Roman. I do not want to see him anywhere near a ring. Okay? So stop the nonsense. Nobody wants Roman. Nobody wants Roman. Deal with the fact that he lost and he's gone. Thank God he's off the card. Now we have wrestlers.
I mean, if we're going to have the Civil War storyline, then obviously we're going to need Roman back. But like I said, when the time is right.
Even with Roman
coming back, turning face, when the time is right. So,
the time is now. The bloodline should have died at WrestleMania.
I mean, it may die. This whole war may conclude at SummerSlam, but we'll wait and see. I mean, now that we're in May, we're a whole lot closer than we think. So I'll be honest with you. Look, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, a great duo, I'll be honest. But obviously,
excellent
Yoko,
tag team.
Solo and Tama Tonga, they're going over in this one.
I think they have to because they're new to the company.
I mean, you got to think of Paul Heyman right now. Paul Heyman doesn't look comfortable where he's at. I mean, after WrestleMania, I was convinced Paul Heyman is a hostage now. He's not the wise man or the like that. He's a hostage.
I said this the whole time. I'll say it again. What is a Jew from Long Island doing in a group of Samoans? And screaming that he's my tribal chief. It is stupid. He's not comfortable with it. I don't think he ever was comfortable with it.
If for anybody that just called you racist, remind everybody remind everybody about yourself too, dude.
Everybody knows him. It's not because Paul Heyman's a Jew and that I'm a Jew. I'm not being racist here. I'm just saying that he's the wrong manager for this organization.
I mean,
it's not.
He made Roman relevant.
No, he didn't. Roman's never been relevant. That's number one. Roman has never been relevant. The whole 3 years was everybody screaming for him to do. Drop the damn belt. The only reason why they put Roman with Paul Heyman is because Roman has. Because my skills are awful. If you haven't noticed,
the best.
Yes, he is. But still, though, it was never a good fit.
Well,
it just
keep in mind,
was.
Back in the early '90s, Paul Heyman, when he had, when he would carry that cell phone, he managed what were they called?
I know what you're talking about.
Not the Wild Samoans. The Head Shrinkers. Mm-hmm. I believe he managed the Head Shrinkers at one point.
That was Jim Cornette. Paul Heyman has managed Stone Cold. He's managed wrestlers of. He's managed every wrestler you can imagine. But to keep him in a dead organization for 4 years, it's just killing him. It's killing him. It really is. It's just killing him.
Mm-hmm. And you were right. He actually managed a team known as the Samoan SWAT team.
Yes, but it wasn't for 4 years.
No.
And he wasn't on his knees calling them my tribal chief. which is just stupid. You're the manager, not him.
So it's kind of like the wrestler. The wrestler should bow to the manager.
Do you think that Bobby Heenan would ever bow to one of his wrestlers or Jimmy Hart?
Or Paul? Paul Bearer in a sense. I mean, but you know, I think it just depends on the gimmick and everything.
No, Undertaker kneel to him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Never. This doesn't happen. You think J.J. Dillon would take this from the Four Horsemen? Hell no. We'd smack him in the mouth. Hell no.
Dude, that duo, so the Horsemen and James J. Dillon, that was incredible. Absolutely.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
And he was their mouthpiece, but at the same time, he never said my tribal chief. He said my horseman. If Paul Heyman would have said, I'm the leader of the bloodline and they listen to me and I got you to the top, fine. I'm cool with that. But I'm screwing my tribal chief and all this. That I'm not cool with. That's my biggest problem. That I'm not cool with. That's a whole, that I'm not cool with.
Yeah.
You made Paul Heyman look not like a strong manager, and then look, you make him look like a wuss. And that's not right. You think Paul Ellering would have taken? You think Paul Ellering would have kneeled to the Legion of Doom? No. He would have taken newspaper and cracked him in the head. It's a whole different story.
A whole different story. So I think we're unanimous. We got the bloodline coming up on this one.
Yeah, but it's time to break them up. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm hoping to see Randy Orton perform a magnificent RKO. I'm sure we'll see something like that.
It's going to be a good match, but at the same time, unfortunately, bloodline's going to take it.
Yeah, so obviously, we know they're getting over. So yeah, now we get to, now we get to, I guess this would be considered the semi-main event, triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship, Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton.
You mean her?
Yeah, so obviously we know who you're going with, but let's be honest, we all know Bayley's winning. That's not really the talking point from this one. The talking point to me is Tiffany Stratton, because she's been on fire. Dude, her athleticism, her ability, man.
She has been on fire, but she hasn't even been on the roster for a year. EO technically never got her rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tiffany Stratton with this whole thing, it's tippy time, it's tippy time. Look, Barbie doll, you've been here 9 months. Yeah, you're on fire, you're cute and all. But I don't think that is her time for a title match. How many women in the locker room have been waiting for title matches for months? For years. This should be Naomi or Bayley, or it should be Io and Bayley. They're only putting Tiffy in there because they brought her up and they put her right at the top.
I mean,
I don't think she's on the spot yet, honestly. I know I'm being cruel, but that's just me.
Okay, I mean, lately the reaction she's been getting from the fans, I mean, especially from Elimination Chamber in Australia. I mean, the Australian crowd was behind her. When she was eliminated from Liv Morgan, I mean, I'm telling you, the fans were furious about it. I mean, the fans have been chanting, it's Tiffy time, it's Tiffy time. So, you know, and lately, I mean, she's been getting so much praise from fans all over social media. So, I get it. She hasn't been on the main roster last time, but look, the fact is, she's over. And when an athlete or when a wrestler is over, creative has got to take them to the next level. Now, does Tiffany need to be champion now? No. Do they need to put now because she's over? Do they need to put her in the title picture? Yes. Is she going to turn face anytime soon?
No.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, some would say if she's over with the fans right now, I mean, who knows? But the bottom line is, Tiffany Stratton has been on fire. The fans love her, so that's why I really have no objections as to her being in the title picture. But we all know, we all know Bayley's not dropping the belt this quick.
No, she's not. But let me put it to this way. Are they pushing her too quickly? Because think about it this way. How many wrestlers have come up on fire and they've been buried in the car?
A lot of times.
Okay. You are pushing her way too quick.
We can only hope that they don't mess it up because, again,
they're going to mess it up.
If they shit the bed, the fans are going to let – see, they're going to let WWE creative – oh, they're going to let them hear it. And then I'm gonna tell those big WWE people that's always bearing AEW. Well, you see, WWE messes up a lot too. It's not just AEW.
Yeah, but the difference is AEW. The difference here is that AEW does not build and create storylines or characters. That's the difference here. They just don't.
They do make the good matches, but I get the point.
Okay, when they got Soraya, aka Paige, it was the biggest thing ever. She's not doing a damn thing in that company. They signed Sasha Money, Sasha Banks, Sasha Money, whatever you want to call her.
Okay, they signed Mercedes,
and she's doing nothing in the company. Nothing. You signed WWE's gem for 4 years. Mind you, her partner was Bayley. What, 5, 6, 7 years she was their star? Bayley and Sasha ruled. Sasha took off. Didn't do too great in New Japan, and the same thing's going to happen in AEW. They don't know how to build characters and storylines. That's the biggest difference. But Bayley's going to take this.
I think it's going to be good. I think it would be better
if it's Bayley and Naomi. I think that would be a better matchup, honestly, because Naomi is getting 10 times better in the ring than she ever was. And I think that one day they're going to put the belt on her eventually. But right now, Bayley will take it easily, and Bayley's been on fire as well ever since they turned her face. So you have three very popular women here. It's gonna be a match and a half. But honestly, Tiffany got pushed a little bit too quick, in my opinion. Naomi's been on fire. Bayley's been on fire. If it was Naomi versus Bayley, I think it'd be a little bit better.
The only
star that got pushed and stayed on top and remained on top from day one was Kurt Angle. He's the only one that I can, and Bayley, obviously, and probably Bayley. But Bayley got pushed down a little bit at times. The only one who really got a call like this, stayed on top, and got on top was Kurt Angle. That's the only one I can think of. So I think they're pushing Tiffany way too quickly.
Well,
she's going to be a star one day, but they better slow her down a little bit. They're putting the gas way too fast on her. That's my opinion.
Okay. As far as Naomi goes, I mean, a lot of fans have been upset with how she's been used ever since she returned, so.
She did great at the Rumble. She won the right to have the match against Bayley. Mind you, Tiffany fucked that up twice, but that's just the WWE being stupid. But that split-legged thing that she does is phenomenal. Her moves are much better, much faster. I honestly think that she's gotten better since she's returned.
All right.
We'll see.
But I got, obviously, we're unanimous on this one. We got Bayley winning.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I think now we're at the main event. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles.
A match I know you've been waiting for a very long time. This one's all you, my friend.
See, AJ Styles, him putting LA Knight over at WrestleMania, you know, it was amazing. It was a hell of a match. And then he basically wins this tournament to be crowned the new number one contender. I'm not sure if AJ Styles, I mean, from what I understand, he's still a heel, right?
He is technically heel, yes.
Okay. But, you know, for AJ Styles to win a triple threat match with Rey Mysterio and Kevin Owens, you know, and the fact that, you know, that he got the win over LA Knight in the final. A lot of people would say, so he loses to LA Knight, and then they just don't have LA Knight challenging for the title. I mean, that a lot of fans are mad about, which I get, but
LA Knight had a title match against Roman and Blue.
So, I mean, But AJ Styles versus Cody, I mean, hey, this is a match that we would pay money to see.
Absolutely.
Dude. AJ, see, I always say today Will Ospreay is the greatest wrestler in the world today. But I always say without AJ Styles, we wouldn't have Will Ospreay. AJ Styles is a legend, a Hall of Famer in every single promotion he worked for. Ring of Honor, TNA Wrestling, New Japan, and WWE. Everywhere he's gone, he has left his mark on an impressive legacy. Can we honestly say AJ Styles is arguably the greatest wrestler that we've seen in our lives, at least in the top five? I mean, it's tough because Kurt Angle is another one. Hey, Kurt Angle, phenomenal athlete, great entertainer. And like I said, Kurt Angle got so hot so quick because of his talent. So I would say, look, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Sting, Jericho. You see, it's hard to have the top five, but it's not hard to consider AJ Styles in your top five as best wrestlers you've seen in your life. AJ Styles is literally phenomenal. It's not a catchphrase. It's not. He legitimately is phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. He's the best I've seen in this generation. To say top five of all time, it's a little hard because you're forgetting about guys like Flair, Hart. You can't forget about Savage.
Well, they're unfortunately, I mean, they're before my time, so.
But they're not my time. Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat. And a whole lot. I'm going to mention Hulk Hogan's name because we have to mention Hogan every time we talk about this topic. But in this generation, yeah, he's definitely number one or two on the list because there haven't been that many guys like him at all. Chris McDaniels is on that list. Samoa Joe, before WWE screwed him up, is on that list. CM Punk is on the list. I would have to say Cody.
Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson also easily put in the top five greatest wrestlers that I've seen, dude. The American Dragon.
American Dragon, absolutely. And before he got hurt, Nigel McGuinness was another one. Austin Aries is on the list. So there are so many wrestlers.
Roderick Strong,
who I've seen.
You were there when he became champion, when he beat Tyler Black.
And also, there was also going to be a lot when he lost the belt, though. So you talk about a whole lot of people, but AJ can wrestle a broomstick. So, like I said, this is going to be a phenomenal match. We're talking about two very, very talented men. And I don't want this to be a 10-minute match. Please, let's not have this.
No.
No 10 minutes, no 15 minutes. Have it go 25, 30 minutes. I want to see the Pele come out of nowhere. I want to see the 450. I want to see all the suplex that Cody can do. I want to see the DDT from Cody. I want to see the Cody, the Rhodes finisher. I want to see all this stuff. I'd like to see AJ do the corkscrew once in a blue moon. And I think that's what this is going to be. I think it's going to be anywhere between 25 and 30 minutes. This is going to be the title match that we've been waiting for years because now you have two very, very talented wrestlers in the ring. By the way, Seth Rollins on that list also. Let's not forget about Rollins. So, do I think it's going to be a great match? Absolutely. You know what? Kurt Angle, Undertaker, at a little known pay-per-view, stole the entire year with their match. I think that this could be one of those nights where we're going to have pretty basic card. We're just going to have a phenomenal main event. And I think that that's what this is going to be. This could be a 35-minute knockdown, drag-off fit, classic wrestling match, which we don't see anymore. And I hope we do. I'm going to take Cody for the win, though. I'll put it to you that way. But I think that AJ is going to tell him, I got your number now, pal. I really do.
I mean, Cody's obviously going to win, but this is going to be a hell of a match.
Absolutely. It's gonna be a lot of fun. This could be the best match on the card. I think it honestly will be. I really do. I believe it will be. So,
I mean, again, I mean, you have Cody working with AJ Styles, who again, a phenomenal legacy everywhere he's gone. I mean, I would say AJ Styles, not a legend in particular companies, He's a pro wrestling legend. Remember how I said a pro wrestling fan follows all the promotions and supports and appreciates them all? Same thing goes with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is a pro wrestling legend. I can honestly say he's a wrestling god.
I have seen this man in Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan, WWE. I have seen AJ do some of the craziest things in a ring you won't believe. He really is. So you're talking about a guy who went toe-to-toe with everybody in Ring of Honor, pretty much took TNA on his shoulders for 10 years and rolled that company and carried the whole company on his shoulders. There's no question about it. He's one of their best champions by far.
That match with Bully Ray?
Amazing.
That rivalry with Bully Ray? Man.
The triangle matches with Samoa Joe and Brian and the Fallen Angel.
And the match the matches with Sting and Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle.
You see?
Abyss. And then in Ring of Honor. He's had so many in Ring of Honor. He's had him and Joe and Punk so many times.
I want to see AJ Styles wrestle Will Ospreay. And I want to see him wrestle Bryan Danielson, but in a match outside WWE. You've seen AJ Styles and Bryan Danielson, but hey, I want to see them wrestle outside WWE. I want to see them be themselves, not be held back, not be shackled. Dude, you see the American Dragon versus the Phenomenal One, like in a show, not technically AEW, but in a New Japan card. Oh. Dude,
it's happened in Ring of Honor.
I'll cry because I know it's gonna happen. I'm gonna
Google
cry.
Google it.
I'm sorry.
Go to YouTube. type in Bryan Danielson versus AJ Styles, and a whole bunch of stuff from Ring of Honor is gonna come. Because I've seen them. They have wrestled each other several times.
And they've done a good job before. And at this point of their lives and their career, even though they've aged, they're going to do it again. That's why I say I'm going to cry when they do it again and have that great match again. And, hey,
well,
AJ Styles right and Will Ospreay, that's a match that I want really bad. So if AJ Styles can leave WWE and then work in Japan, whatever, hey, he can help AEW. He can help Ring of Honor.
Dude, no one can help AEW.
Okay, well, we don't need to get into that because
– No one can help AEW. Forget about AEW. Forget about that. But
so we just see AJ Styles work in Japan.
I've seen AJ Styles work in Japan. He's phenomenal. I've seen him work in Ring of Honor. I've seen him work in Mexico. I've seen him work in Tijuana. I've seen him work wherever you want to work. AJ is a phenomenal. Like I said, AJ Cody, this is the match everybody's been waiting for years, and now we finally have it. And it's not this dashing idiot character. It's not on the head. It's not him in Legacy. It's Cody Rhodes being Cody Rhodes and AJ being AJ, and that's what you want. Creative finally got it right. They put their hands in the air, and they said, let's be Cody, and AJ be AJ, and let's see what they can do.
And that's why this match happened.
Am I a fan of LA Knight? Not really. I think he's annoying at times. He had his title matches, blew both of them. Didn't do very well against Roman, did not do very well against his against what he fought for any both he's wrestled for, but AJ will give you a show.
Damn right.
Cody will give you a show. LA Knight's not ready for it yet. Another guy they pushed way too fast. LA Knight's a victim. You mentioned LA Knight, we got to mention him. LA Knight, victim of getting pushed way too fast and way too quick.
So the way I see it is, in this match, you have Cody kick out of a Phenomenal Forearm and the Styles Clash. You have Styles kick out of 3 Crossroads. Then it takes 3 more to beat him after that. He takes 3 in a row, then loses. You see? They got to make the match in a thriller type.
I don't think he's going to take out. I don't think it's going to take 6 to put him down because it took like 4 to put down Roman. I think it's going to take at least 2 to keep him down because I've seen AJ kick out of everything you can imagine. The guy kicked out of the Undertaker, but I think that he's going to take at least 2 to beat him, and I think he's going to get the 3 count, This is not going to be a DQ finish. It's not going to be a count-out finish. Somebody's getting pinned 1, 2, 3 in the ring.
Oh, so that's the way I see it, yep. But they're going to put on a hell of a match. But Cody's obviously retaining the title. At the end of the day, both guys, you know, AJ Styles is going to he's gonna get a huge reaction.
This is, like I said, this could be a Kurt Angle Undertaker situation. Back in, was it 06, I think it was?
Yeah.
At a SmackDown only pay-per-view when they stole the show because, that was just a garbage. That was just a throwaway pay-per-view, obviously. I think we're looking at the same situation right here. It's a weak card. It's not a great card. And I think that's going to be the situation. We're going to have a knockdown drag-out affair. And when people go home, that's the only match they're going to talk about. No offense to Bayley. No offense to Damian Priest or anybody else. But this really is not that great of a show. It really isn't.
The card really isn't convincing.
No. And to be honest with you, if I don't think that if Cody and AJ are on, we're on the card, would we even be doing this show?
No.
Thank you.
We don't preview. I mean, the fact that we're previewing the show already, it's considered lucky. Because I almost said, like, you know what? Look how weak this card looks. Why should we waste our time?
Because you saw Cody versus AJ.
We spent more time talking about things a little bit outside the card, involving the wrestlers that are part of the card, like AJ Styles leaving WWE to work in Japan and to appear, you know, everywhere. You know, to work once again with the American Dragon, to work once again with Samoa Joe.
Sure.
And actually see them compete in good, grueling wrestling matches.
Absolutely. But you have to talk about the fact that we're talking about two of the best wrestlers in the world right now. We're going at it for the most important title in the world. And I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
That we talked that without going back and forth about this match particularly. So that's why we're talking about this particular pay-per-view. Because I think that
AJ Styles doesn't need a title.
No, AJ does not need a belt. AJ has a belt of his own. AJ doesn't need a belt. No, he has the belt. Does he push it? Does he make the belt higher? Absolutely. Look what he did for TNA. Look what he did for ROH. So you're talking about a guy who can make anything work, and Cody's at that level too.
Mm-hmm.
Cody with the company for 3 years. 3 or 4 years. One out, came up with this American Nightmare thing on the Indies, on AEW, came back, and bang, now he's the heavyweight champion in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Cody can make anything work, and I think so can. And I think that so can AJ Styles. I really do.
Absolutely. And AJ Styles, like I said, he's always going to be a champion. To us, he's always going to be a champion. He doesn't need a belt to prove that. AJ Styles has done it all for the fans. Numerous times. Hey, AJ Styles, he doesn't owe us anything.
No,
we owe him. We owe him.
We also owe guys that came before him. Roddy Piper, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jake the Snake Roberts, Savage. People who did not have very many titles. Well, Jake never won a belt. But guys who don't need belts because of their outstanding work. AJ's in that category of, I don't need a title for you to go home and say, he had the best match in the card. Bryan Danielson's in that class. Bret the Hitman Hart was in that class as well. How many times have we said that the Bret the Hitman Hart match has been the best match on the card, even if he doesn't have the damn belt?
A lot.
Him and Owen, WrestleMania 10, they stole it. The opening match stole it. Now.
Hey, him and the British Bulldog, SummerSlam 92.
Yeah, but that was for a belt, though. But that was for a title, though.
But it wasn't a main event belt. It was the Intercontinental title.
It was
the
Intercontinental title, absolutely.
Although in England, they would say that in England, the Intercontinental title would be considered the main event title.
Of course. But the thing is, AJ's in that class.
Yeah.
He really is. A phenomenal one himself.
No, amen to that. I mean, that's why if I could one day thank AJ Styles for everything, man, like I said, he doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything for what he's given us.
I met him in Ring of Honor. Very nice guy.
Him and Chris Daniels. Very, very nice gentleman.
Fallen Angel.
Yep.
Yeah. Another one doesn't need a belt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. You know, he's got a high position with AEW, but, you know, like that. Well, Mark, I think we've covered everything. Any final words?
Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook at Mark Braverman. I'm on my TikTok real because of my affiliation with my patron. You can look me up on TikTok. And of course, you can find me on Instagram. So I'm everywhere.
All
right. Alex, thank you for having me on. This was a whole lot of fun. And again, I'm not a racist. I just don't think that Paul Heyman is in the right position right now.
No, I know. It's just that I was gonna say, like, for those of you that think that Mark's racist, hey, Mark's Jewish too. Mark is just coming to the defense of a fellow Jew.
Damn right.
So yeah, and besides, if you're offended, I mean, hey, Jim Cornette, Eric Bischoff, they say worse things, okay? Especially Jim Cornette.
Yes, they do.
Cornette. But you can find this show, Ringside Chaos, anywhere you get your podcasts. So what we need you to do, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, we know for sure that you're not going to be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, thank you again. We'll see y'all next time.
Yep. Have a good one, my friend.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.